appear to us in this meeting. We give ourselves for your word tonight. Cleanse us and sanctify all of us who are sitting here. Let us receive something from the Spirit. Let your anointing empty us and teach us. We await that Christ speaks to us. We put away all things consciously and turn away back to you. Anoint us and anoint your word. Praise the Lord.
Amen.
A continuous young people's meeting conference. The Lord has given us time. He has given us another year where we can gain the Lord. It's really not a small thing that the Lord has given us time, that we have to seek Him. The Lord definitely will come back quickly, and His coming back is just before the two. His standing there, the condition of the world, of the Christians as well, and also the condition in the church shows us that the Lord will end this age soon. It is very possible that we are the last generation. The possibility is very, very high. Therefore, it's nothing small. It's not a small thing that we have another year where the Lord can equip us for His coming back. Don't think that we have so much time. Perhaps we think that we still have lots of time because we are still young, or we have our life ahead of us. Therefore, we do not need to think about it too much or worry about it too much, but the Lord comes back soon. Many brothers, many saints will not be surprised if this generation will be the last one. Think about what it means. If the Lord were to come back in our time, are you prepared? Are we prepared? If the Lord were to say, I come back next year, or in 5 years, then we have to ask ourselves, in our current condition, can we meet the Lord? If not, then we have to repent. Then we have to come to the Lord and say to Him, prepare me. Yes, the Lord is coming, is on His way. The time is no longer so. This time is coming soon. The Lord has brought us here today in order for us to be prepared for His coming back. Let us really give this time to the Lord and not just come because it's nice here and we can see many brothers and sisters, but rather because we know that the Lord comes back quickly and wants to fulfill His plan with us. This is nothing, this is not a small matter, that the Lord today with us, all of us sitting here today, He wants to end this age. This thought, often we do not have it. We always think about other things and we are always distracted, but this generation, we are this generation in this conference today, this the Lord is waiting for us in order for Him to end this age of grace.
um das nächste Zeitalter anzufangen.
In order to start the next age.
Wer von uns hat darüber nachgedacht?
Who has ever thought of that before?
Wir denken an, oh,
we would think, oh, my studies, my work, what should I do? I still have so many things, my job, my family, I have to look for my future partner. So many things are filling our hearts. But if we see and recognize that the Lord is coming back, then we have to see, then we will see that our heart needs preparation. The Lord is waiting for a group of young people, a generation, an army who will execute his plan on this earth today. That's why we are here. That's why do not think about other different things when you are here. Do not consider too much. Rather, come to the Lord and tell him, Lord, speak to me. We cannot miss and waste the time here. Otherwise, we will be lacking of time.
When
the Lord said to Noah that the flood will come, did Noah say, oh, I now still need to take a vacation. 3 weeks, I want to go somewhere else, and then I have to look for a job. And then, so that I can take care of my family. What will the Lord do? The Lord would then not be able to do much. And in the situations, we are standing, the Lord is coming back quickly. We are here to prepare the way for the Lord. Lord Jesus, how should we start? These days, we will have fellowship about the first book in the Bible. Maybe we'll think, oh, I thought we are talking about the coming back and the end of the age, and now we are back to the beginning. It's true. That's right. Because every one of us, it's important for every one of us that we turn back and go back to the beginning. To the beginning which the Bible is showing us. We read what was in the beginning. In the beginning God created the heavens and the earth. In the beginning God created the heavens and the earth. It shows us God is at the beginning. God stands there and is in the beginning. The point that I want to tell you tonight is if God is not the start and the beginning in our life today, then we will be surprised when He comes back. God
wants to be our beginning.
So that's why it's good tonight when we, now that we have arrived here, we should make the Lord our beginning anew, that we can set Him ahead before us so that He will be in the beginning. But let's go back to the outline. In the beginning, God created the universe. He has done it in a wonderful way. Many people thought in the beginning God made the world, the earth, the heavens, and then it was without form and void, and then God started to create life. But we have to recognize and see it in these words. When God is in the beginning, then He will not create wilderness.
Dann ist der Anfang herrlich.
When the Lord makes the beginning, then it has to be wonderful. Every time when God takes the first step and starts, then glory will come forth. Glory will come forth. And we also see it, for example, in Isaiah 45. Isaiah 45, verse 18.
So spricht der Herr, der den Himmel geschaffen hat.
For thus says the Lord, who created the heavens, who is God, who formed the earth and made it. He has established it. And he did not create it in vain or without a form, but he created it so that it will be inhabited. Praise the Lord. This verse shows us that at the beginning, as God created this universe, he created it in a wonderful and glorious way. He did not create this world in a chaos. God is not like us, who, when we do something, is chaotic. Confusion. But God's work is perfect. Whatever he does, there is a seal of perfection or glory. God does it wonderfully. Let's see what the angels did when God created the heavens. Job 38, verses 4 through 7.
Wo warst du, als ich die Erde gründete? Teile es mit, wenn du einen nicht kennst.
Where were you when I laid the foundations of the earth? Tell me if you have understanding. Who determined its measurements? Surely you know. Or who stretched the line upon it? To what were its foundations fastened, or who laid its cornerstone? When the morning stars sang together, and all the sons of God shouted for joy. These words show us clearly, as God created heavens and earth, and when he created the universe, all these angels shouted with joy. They all saw what God has created. And they said, wow. Wonderful. Oh. Glorious. And all clapped and applauded and shouted for joy. And they said, God, praise you. It was wonderful. How do you make it? God's work is so wonderful. His glorious. His glory is indescribable. All angel beings were all celebrating and rejoicing as God, when God created the beginning. Isn't that good? God did it in a wonderful way. We shouldn't think that God just created something messy. God is a God of order, of glory, and he does it in a wonderful way. But, a big but, unfortunately there's always a but. Unfortunately, in this universe there's also an enemy. There's Satan, the devil. In this time, after God created everything in a wonderful and glorious way, when he created the heaven and earth in such a wonderful way, something happened in this universe. You have to imagine God created in such a wonderful way, everything was perfect. But something came in between. One of the angel beings set himself ahead above God. He set his heart above God and became disobedient and rebelled against God. And as a result of his rebellion, the whole glorious creation which God has created before that went into a state of confusion and chaos. Why? Because God judged the rebellion of Satan. We shouldn't think that God does not judge. No. God is righteous. And we shouldn't be so naive and think that there is no judgment. Yes, there is a judgment. Not just on the rebellion of the devil, but in the Bible we see at the end that God will judge every one of us who is sitting here. God is a God of judgment. That's why we should not rebel against him. Do not be so hardened in your heart, but repent. But at that time, the whole creation fell into chaos, in tohu babohu is a Hebrew word which means without form and empty, waste and emptiness, a full chaos. This is not a good condition. But that's what the Bible said to us in the beginning, going back to the beginning. In the beginning, God created the heavens and earth. And the earth became without form and void. We have to change this was to being. The earth became without form and void. Because in the Hebrews word, it means here the earth became was without form and void. It was because of the rebellion of Satan and because of the judgment of God, it was not void and without form. It became without form and void because of the rebellion of Satan. What's the result? Darkness was on the face of the deep. Darkness was on the face of the deep. What would you say to this? God had created a wonderful creation. Now it became darkness, became full of darkness. Darkness was on the face of the deep. This deep here means abyss. Very, very deep. How deep is the abyss?
Abyss.
And there you only see darkness. Darkness. And this is a sign of God's judgment. And darkness was on the face of the deep. Abyss. The condition after God's judgment is as described here, but it goes on, and the Spirit of God was hovering over the face of the waters. And we now see the condition after the judgment of God. Let me write it down. Waste and emptiness. Point number one. Waste and emptiness. Waste and emptiness. And that was the first point. And then it went on. Darkness was over the face of the deep. Darkness. And the third point, in the abyss.
Abyss.
Darkness over the face of the deep, and the Spirit of God was hovering over the face of the waters, and this is dead water.
Mm-hmm.
Who wants to be here?
Kein guter Zustand.
It's not a good condition.
Wir denken immer, es ist alles okay.
We always think that everything is fine in this universe.
Wir denken immer, die Welt ist so schön.
We always think that the world is so nice, so full of enjoyment, so attractive, so drawing.
Aber die Erde,
but the earth,
dem, was das Wort
after,
ist in
according to what the Word of God tells us, is in the condition of waste and emptiness, is full of darkness, in deep, in an abyss, and full of dead water. Terrible. But this is the condition in us at the beginning of the Bible, what the Bible shows us at the beginning. And now you think, okay, praise the Lord. This has nothing to do with me. But that was at the beginning, many thousands of years ago. Hallelujah. Today is no longer. It has nothing more to do with me. But this is not true. Apostle Paul told us in his words that this words here, this description, this history written in Genesis has a lot of things much to do with us. We should go to this portion. 2 Corinthians 4, verse 6. For this is the God who commanded light to shine out of darkness. This verse shows us, proves to us, that this history from Genesis has to do with you and me. Do not think that we are so far away from this condition. We have nothing to do with this. No, no, no. Paul used Genesis 1 to show that the Bible is talking about you and from me. Actually, this is the burden of the Lord. It's not that how for you to understand how the world has been created, but God's burden is that with these words here, that we would understand how our condition is. Yes. That's why many scientists were not satisfied with this description in Genesis. They thought, oh, so many points will be left out and this and that, but they did not understand that God is actually referring to you, hey, Mr. Scientist. It's not about the world, but from you. Lord Jesus, we love you. Let's read further Ephesians chapter 1. Ephesians chapter 1 it corresponds to Genesis chapter 1. Maybe you have never thought about that. But this is truly so. In the first word in the Bible we read, in the beginning God created heavens and earth. And Ephesians also start in this way. Verse 4, chapter 1. Just as he chose us in him before the foundation of the world, before the foundation of the world. Here Paul made this comparison with Genesis chapter 1. And not just one, verse 1, but he also spoke about the time before verse 1. He even referred before the foundation of the world, before Genesis verse chapter 1, verse 1, even before what God before God created the foundation of the world, he made something more which is even more, so much important for us today, more important than to understand how this whole universe has been created. And what is that? What can be even more important than the creation of this universe? Here it says, He chose us in Him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before Him in love, having predestined us to adoption as sons by Jesus Christ to Himself, according to the good pleasure of His will. Verse 6, to the praise of the glory of His grace.
Wow.
This is great.
Before
God created this universe, He has chosen and predestined us. Just as I said before that, when God creates something in the beginning, is always wonderful, is always glorious. And just like how He created the universe in the beginning in such a wonderful and glorious way, even more glorious and more important is your election and your predestination. God has chosen you and predestined you before the foundation of the world, that you will be holy and without blame before Him, and that you will achieve the full sonship for the praise of His glory. And now tell me which condition is better. Isn't our election wonderful? Isn't it good what the Lord has done at the beginning before the foundation of the world? He has selected us so there will be something for the praise of His glory. I have to tell you tonight, you are all created for God's glory. God has created us and He has selected and chosen us to bring us so that He can bring us into glory. Oftentimes we do not see it. We always think, oh, I'm a poor Christian. Oh, so difficult. Oh, Lord Jesus, it's end of me. That's it. But our election is so wonderful. God has predestined that we will enter into His glory. Let's read it. Read further in Romans chapter 8. Romans 8, verse 29.
O Father,
for whom He foreknew, He also predestined to be conformed to the image of His Son, that He might be the firstborn among many brethren. Amen. Moreover, whom He predestined, this He also called. Whom He called, this He also justified. And whom He justified, this He also glorified. Brothers and sisters, what more shall we say here? Isn't our election wonderful? Lord Jesus. Sometimes we do not see why God has chosen you. You do not see this glorious calling is to enter this full sonship with Christ in the glory. A co-heir with Christ. You should one day reign together with God over this whole universe. Not just one fine day, but soon. But still you love your work so much. You still love your hobby. Oh. And so many other things in this world, we are still enjoying them. Why? We should really see anew. Why did the Lord call us? The problem here is that our view is veiled. We are here today, this day, so that the Lord can take away our views, that we can see again why God has chosen us and called us. Amen. But although the Lord has called us into such chorus, into this glory, and He has created everything. He has revealed His glory, but it's unfortunately something happened to us, just like that time back then in Genesis chapter 1. We also can read that in Ephesians. Let's turn back again to Ephesians. We read just now in chapter 1 that He has chosen us so that we should be holy and without blame before Him in love, and has having predestined us to adoption as sons by Jesus Christ Himself, and to praise of the glory of His grace. This is the beginning. In the beginning, God has created this. Before the universe was there, He has already said, Philip, good, you, I've predestined to sonship. Isn't that wonderful? Hallelujah. This is too big, too great. But here also the something came in between. In Genesis 1 said that earth became waste and empty. And Ephesians 2 verse 1 also said that you who were dead in trespasses and sins. It shows us, although God at the beginning made something in such a glorious way and wonderful, He has called you into something wonderful, into something glorious, and suddenly here it says that you were dead in trespasses and sins, in which you once walked, according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit who now works in the sons of disobedience. What a contrast it is to your calling. Among whom also we all once conducted ourselves in the lusts of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature children of wrath, just as the others. Isn't it waste and emptiness? Isn't that darkness? Isn't our condition not just like this abyss? Think about the time before your salvation. Haven't we been living in this dead water? You thought you're swimming in Baggersee. But you're actually swimming in this dead sea, the dead water.
Is that good?
The earth became without form and void. And the spirit, amen. We need spirit. We have to see that before we were saved, we were in such a condition, waste and empty. We were dead. Just like in Genesis chapter 1, there was no life on this earth. Only years after that, God created life again. Can you imagine this earth without life? In Stuttgart, without people, human beings, that would not be so good. It would not be nice. Do you want to still live here if there are no people there? Just Johannes? Oh. That would be terrible. But that was our condition, without life. And we too, before we were saved, we were all dead in the eyes of God. Don't think that you were so alive. Of course you were alive outwardly. You have done many things, many activities. Oh, we have done many things. Very, very active, but dead. Active but dead. Deadly active. Truly so, we were all dead. We once conduct walked according to the cost on this earth. That means that Satan used to rule over us, although God created everything in such a wonderful way. Through sin and the fall, this poison of the serpent came into us and took over the control over you and me. You think that you are so free. Oh, you can do everything. I'm always free to go here and this and there. Wonderful, I can do everything that I want. Wrong. You do what you want. No, you do what the prince of this air wants, which is a spirit who now works in the sons of disobedience. Oh, disobedience. That was the problem from the devil. And unfortunately, it's not just in Satan, but through the fall of sin, this problem of sin and of disobedience came into our flesh. Yes. And instead that you now will become something for the praise of His glory, but now you become darkness, empty, without void, full of death. You are fallen. What a condition. Maybe we never realized it, that was our condition. But here is what the word says to us. We all used to conduct ourselves in the lust of our flesh. Isn't it something familiar? Oh Lord, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind. The desires of the flesh and mind. We are always doing what that comes in our mind. We do not really consider that much. We just do it. That was not good. And we're by nature children of wrath. Children of wrath. God said in Ephesians 1, He wants to bring us into sonship. That means that He wants to make us into sons of God. And instead of that, instead of being a son of God, we became the sons of wrath. Just as the others. This is not good. And if that will be the end, then it will really be bad, terrible. Can you imagine? God say, okay, all right. That's it. Finished. All this condition, darkness, emptiness, without form, void. Everything is fallen. Now I'm just going to give them up. To throw them away. Put them away. I give them up. If God were to do that, then today we are not just not here, but I wouldn't know where we will be, but not in the church and not here. We won't be here. Praise the Lord that there is a second part to it. And the Spirit of God hover over the face of the waters. Aren't you glad that the Holy Spirit of God did not give us up? The Spirit of God was hovering over the face of the waters. The word hovering means that He's preparing, like this hand sitting on the eggs, so that she can bring forth life. And this is what the Spirit has done. Do not deal in a loose way with the Spirit. He has done lots of work in order to hover over us. I do not know how long the Spirit had to hover over me until I have been saved from this condition. I do not know how long. Maybe, praise the Lord. Maybe it's good that I do not know. Maybe it's a long, long time. We do not know how long. But the Holy Spirit has worked in us. He was there, hovering over us, although we were so fallen. If I were to be the Spirit, I come from above onto this condition and I will be thinking, my goodness, Lord Jesus, oh, I'll be flying back again. I'll be flying quickly back to the Father. Praise the Lord, He did not do it. God did not give up. God does not give us up. And the Spirit was there and was hovering. He worked. To do what? To bring forth life. Oh, Jesus. And what did the Spirit do when He was hovering? And at the given time, the Spirit worked, continued to work, and He works even more, and He works again. How often did the Spirit work in you until He said to Marcos, now let there be light. One fine day, by the hovering of the Spirit, the Lord created this crack in your heart, and light comes in. Can you imagine God opens up a crack in such a condition, such a fallen condition, because God loves, because God did not forget His calling. God does not give up His plan ever. Doesn't matter what the enemy is doing. It's fully, he doesn't care. He executes His plan 100%. And He said, I will bring you into full sonship, and He will do it. He wants to bring us into glory, and the Spirit will do it. Therefore, Spirit, that's why the Spirit works and waits till the heart is open. And as soon as there's a small crack or a gap in the heart, God works. And then God said, let there be light. And there was light. And we were saved. God saved us from sin and death. He saved us from waste and emptiness. He saved us from darkness. How long did the Spirit work? I do not know. But He has saved you out of darkness. He has saved you out of abyss. And saved you out of dead waters. And this is what Paul said in 2 Corinthians. That God is the one who shines in our heart. In 2 Corinthians 4, verse 5, He was the one that has shone in our hearts, and He was the one that fully saved us. He saves us out of the eternal condemnation. Praise the Lord! He has saved us out of this eternal condemnation. Where would you rather be? In abyss, or in the darkness, or with the Lord? The Lord has done such a wonderful work in the beginning. He has really saved us. That's why in Ephesians chapter 2, verse 4, but God, who is rich in mercy, this is God who has worked with the Spirit. Oh Lord, because of His great love with which He loved us, even when we were dead in trespasses, this is what the Lord has done, although we were in such a condition. Lord Jesus made us alive with Christ. By grace you have been saved. Do you treasure this verse? Oftentimes we take our salvation in such a, take it lightly, and we do not really treasure it. You may think, oh, now I'm safe, I cannot do this or I cannot do that. Often we have forget how wonderful our salvation is. We have forgotten what the Lord has done to save us out of all these conditions. Do you really want to jump into this, all these points here? I don't believe it. It will not be good. Even when we were dead in trespasses, made us alive together with Christ. By grace you have been saved. Raise us up together and make us sit together in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus. And in verse 8, for by grace you have been saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. Of course, it's not of ourselves. It's the Spirit that is working. It's not of ourselves. It is the gift of God. Not of works, lest anyone should boast. And in verse 10, for we are His workmanship. Amen. We are His masterpiece, His masterwork. Now I want to ask all of you, God's salvation from this condition, wasn't that His masterwork, masterpiece? Wasn't that a masterpiece? What the Lord has done back there? We think, oh yeah, doesn't matter, I'm now a Christian, one fine day I'll go up into the heavens. This is not what the Lord has planned. Think about what the Lord has invested in you. Not just simply invest your vessel or yourself into this world from which the Lord has saved you out of. What nonsense it is that now you have actually been saved out of darkness and you want to now go back to darkness. Don't you think that God will be sad? Dear Lord Jesus, we are His workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand. Not that we should go back to our own old condition, but that we should walk in this good works. Isn't that wonderful? Our calling is glorious. Lord Jesus, amen. May the Lord open up our eyes. But maybe you think, okay, it was my first salvation. When I believe in the Lord, saved, healed, born again, and now I'm saved from this condition. Yeah, it's correct. But we shouldn't think that we as believers, born again, and brothers and sisters in the church would not do these things again. Let's read Ephesians chapter 4. Ephesians 4, verse 17. Here Paul spoke to the believers, to those who have been saved out of all these fallen conditions. Verse 17, this I say, Paul now is talking to us. It's for us. Pay attention, now it has something to do with us. Therefore, and testifying the Lord, what did Paul testify of? That you should no longer walk as the rest of the Gentiles walk, in the futility of their mind. In the futility, this means is emptiness. In Hebrew, word. It also, this word waste is also vanity, futility. We believe us, although we are saved, and even maybe you are in the church, God has saved us and has regenerated us. And yet we still walk like the nations. This is not good. In the futility of their mind. Futility, not just in sin, in sins, but also in the futility of their mind. How many vanity, vain things we have done. I'm not talking about sins, we will talk about that later, but now I'm talking about vanity. Something that will bring you nothing is vanity. It's in vain. Think about your Facebook posts and the vanities. They are not sinful. Oh yeah. I do not think that someone says, okay, now I'm going to post something sinful. No, I do not think so. But still, just like the nations, is vanity, is empty and waste without contact. Without contact is without contact. Content is empty and still is not empty because you still write words in it, but it has no meaning. Don't you think that often we are like that? We are in the futility of our mind. Whatever comes in our mind, okay, let's do it, whatever I think. I do not consider that this is actually vanity. Having their understanding darkened, the Lord has often exposes darkness in my understanding. Darkness. What? I thought I'd been saved. Yes, you have been saved, but how much darkness it is there still in your understanding? The Lord has to save us from it. Alienated from the life of God. In Genesis chapter 1, there was no life on this earth. It was void, without life. And today, sometimes, we do things as if we are alienated from the life of God. Although the life of God dwells in you and Christ dwells in you, He dwells and lives in you and me. But still, we are so far away, so such a great distance. The work is so much nearer to me than the life of God. Our hobby or our activities, this and that, oh, we are such good friends with them, but we are so far away from the life of God. Because of the ignorance that's in them, because of the blindness of their heart, the Lord has to enlighten and shine our hearts. Being past feeling down. At the beginning we were quite sensitive. Yeah, 1 year ago in the Young People's Conference I was so sharp like an arrow. But with time, things came in and the arrows become dull, no longer sharp. This means that we cannot separate and discern between life and death. We cannot discern between vanity and life. And this is what the Lord has to save us from. Given themselves of a lewdness to work all uncleanness with greediness. This is not a good condition. That's why today, tonight, I know that this is the first meeting in this conference. And maybe we have brought along many things in our backpack. I'm not talking about our clothing. Maybe, perhaps too. But I'm not talking about our clothing. How much is in your head? How much do you bring along from all these vanities? And now we're here. What do we do? What shall we do? Do not stay in this condition, truly so. Doesn't matter what it is, what is hindering you, whatever they have done or you have brought along. Tonight, today, we should say, in the beginning, God. Set God to be your beginning tonight. Put away your vanities. Make God your beginning. If God is your beginning, then His glory can be revealed. Say to the Lord, Lord, I repent from all these vanities. I used to walk like the nations. Maybe people cannot see the difference between the world and me. If I were to walk in such a way, then in the end, people will ask you, are you a Christian or not? Just like the nations. Then we really have to repent. Go to the Lord and say, Lord, Lord Jesus, you are now my beginning.
This is
the good thing in Genesis chapter 1, that's the beginning. Make God your beginning. You can't forget what was yesterday, really. This week, you can forget about it. You can tell the Lord, Lord, save me, I repent. Make this, please, I want to forget. Tell the Lord, at the beginning, God created in me. In the beginning, God has to create something in me. I said to the Lord, not just once, not just twice, not just five times, before this young people's conference, I have said to the Lord, I need you as my beginning. Oh, Lord Jesus. That's why I do not just want to leave this list with you. I want to put it away. Hallelujah. And now I write point number one. At the beginning, God.
Okay?
In the beginning, God. We do it today. Today is the first day of the Young People's Conference, the first meeting. Tell the Lord, forgive me. You are now my beginning. Not just God is in the beginning. I read John 1, verse 1. In the beginning was the Word. In the beginning was the Word. The Word. This time. This Word of God, make it to your beginning. You can tell the Lord, Amen. Now. I concentrate myself only on your word. What I hear now, hear what I read. Lord Jesus, this shall be my beginning. Let not other media be my beginning. Remember, the beginning was the word. This word is your beginning. That's why I take this word. Go to God and say to Him, Lord, I make tonight, make a new, I start with you, a new beginning, I start anew. My spirit, I want to start to exercise my spirit. I want to start to come to you tonight. And last but not least, John the Apostle, not this John here sitting, but Apostle John. Maybe Johannes should read that for us. 1 John chapter 1. Please read that for us. The last verse. 1 John chapter 1, verse 1. That which was from the beginning. Hey, look, this is the beginning again. Which we have heard, which we have seen with our eyes, which we have looked upon and our hands have handled, concerning the word of life. Third, life. Life. Let us take this list here. The Lord be with our spirit.